Grace team. I thought they did a fantastic job. I always love listening to them. I don't get into big church a lot because they usually let me hang out with the kids, and that's kind of what I love to do. And I love telling the Christmas story because there is such a wide range of characters, from lowly shepherds to angelic messengers, from a teenage girl who gets the most amazing news to her long-suffering fiancé who says, yeah, sure, let's do this thing. So I like to insert myself into the story. When I tell Bible stories to the children, I like to be a part of it. When I'm telling the story of David and Goliath, I'm there on the battlefield looking at those shiny, smooth stones that he's going to put in that slingshot. When I'm telling the story of Daniel in the lion's den, I'm imagining I'm a lion wondering why, with my tummy so empty and growling, I can't just eat this guy. So when I tell the Christmas story, I like to pretend I'm there. I'm among the people that are doing the Christmas story. And I'd like to kind of focus, I guess, a bit on the wise men. Now, I admit, I am guilty of having told and chuckled at a few wise men jokes. I saw one on Facebook the other day. Two old ladies were talking, they had their cups of coffee, and the one old lady says to the other old lady, I can accept a virgin birth, but three wise men? So I get that. But we're going to talk about the wise men tonight. But I thought, first of all, before we talk about those wise men, we would compare some other wise men from the Bible. You know, the wise men don't just show up at this Christmas story. Wise men are kind of peppered throughout the whole Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Now, the qualifications for a wise man seem to vary from culture to culture. Sometimes all it takes is just a king saying, you are now my wise man. Sometimes it's a prophet, a guy who's had a direct connection and passes along messages from God to the people. And sometimes you have a supernatural wise ability. So we're going to talk about a couple of wise men tonight, and we're going to compare them to the wise men of the Christmas story. Now, the first wise man was a bit of a prophet. His job was to pass along messages. A lot of times kings would come to him, get advice, ask him to curse or to bless people. And his name was Balaam. Now, Balaam was an unusual wise man because you'd think someone who had a direct connection to God would probably stay on the right track, who would do what God would have him to do. But the story that we know most of Balaam, and the one I love telling to the kids, is the story of where Balaam is on a little journey and he gets off the right track. And God has to redirect Balaam. Now, if Balaam is a wise guy, there are many methods God could have used to talk to Balaam, to communicate with Balaam. God appeared to people in dreams. He sent angels in human form. There are tons of ways that God has communicated with people. But with Balaam, in order to get Balaam's attention, he used a talking donkey. Now, I'm an animal lover. The list of animals I have either owned or ridden or in some way interacted with is quite significant. When we were in the Philippines a few years ago, I missed just by that much being urinated on by a tiger. So I've been around animals all my life. I have been spit at, I have been hissed at, I have been meowed at, I have been barked at, I have been scratched, I have been clawed, I have been growled at. We had a really cranky rabbit that growled at me if I didn't feed her raisins fast enough. But I've never been spoken to by any animal, ever. Now, if you're supposed to be a wise man, and God needs to use a talking donkey to get your attention, you may want to consider handing in your Wise Men Club membership card. Because something tells me that you're not so wise if that's the only way God can get a hold of you. But that's one wise man. Now, another wise man, the most famous wise man in all the world, David's son. David talked to his son Solomon. Solomon was going to be the next king of Israel, and Solomon was really nervous. And David said, if you follow God's laws, his commands, walk in God's ways, you will prosper. God will take care of you. And so a short time later, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, I will give you whatever you want. You are going to be the next king of Israel. The Israelites are my people. You are their new leader. I will give you whatever you want. Solomon thought about it. And considering that he is being offered by the creator of the universe the best gift ever, which is whatever you want, Solomon asked for wisdom. What a great thing. God was so pleased with Solomon's request that he not only gave Solomon wisdom, but the fame and fortune with it. Now, the first several years of Solomon's reign were very, very good. Israel prospered as a nation. It was a time of peace and prosperity. The people were fat and happy. Solomon was the builder king, the architect king, while David was the warrior king. Seemed like they were always at war with somebody. Solomon had a time of peace, and Solomon built the temple, the most fabulous building in the world. Then he built the palace, an amazing palace. The land of Israel increased as Solomon was such a wise, wise ruler. Solomon, famous for that court decision where he decided who the real mom was. Two moms, one baby, fighting over this baby. Solomon used his wisdom to make sure that that baby went home with the right mom. Solomon wrote thousands of proverbs, 1,000 songs. He's credited with writing wisdom literature in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. He was an amazingly wise man. He set the gold standard for being a wise man. Rulers from all over the world came to hear what Solomon had to say. And yet, Solomon, he lost track of what David said before he became king. Listen to what God has to say. Follow his commands. Obey what he has to say, and you will prosper. And Solomon decided he needed some help in solidifying his power politically. So Solomon decided to get married a lot. He got married 700 times. And I don't mean marry, divorce. He got married 700 women, 300 girlfriends. We're going to call them girlfriends. So he had 700 wives, 300 girlfriends. And these women were women from other cultures, other countries. They didn't worship God. They brought their idols in, and in that beautiful palace and in that beautiful temple, it's become polluted with idolic images. And I think that one of my kids in Jam Church said it best. Jam is the children's worship that I have. It stands for Jesus and me. And one of my kids said, he's about 10, 11 years old. He said, you know, I'm a ladies' man, but even I wouldn't marry 700 women. I can't put it any better than that. So if you're supposed to be a wise man and you have God's gift of wisdom, yet you choose to marry 700 women and keep 300 girlfriends, I think it's time to turn in your Wise Men's Club membership card, because clearly you've sacrificed a lot of your wisdom. So those two wise men, let's compare to what we know about the wise men of the Bible story. Now, first of all, it tells us that wise men came from the east. I'm directionally challenged. I'm spatially dyslexic. I can't find my car in the parking lot at the mall. So telling me they come from the east is not a big help to me. They're from what, New Jersey? New Jersey is east of here, right? But they're like way east, far, far, far east. But we don't know exactly where, just they're east of Israel. They came a long journey. Now, we don't know how many wise men there were. Bible just says wise men are magi. We assume three, right? Because there's three gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. What if two guys brought gold, six guys brought myrrh, and there was a sale on frankincense and 11 guys brought frankincense? There could have been a lot of wise men. We assume three. You know, you see the graphics of the three camels and the three guys and the big four-pointed star. That's what we always think of when we think of the wise men. But could have been three, could have been two. Maybe one guy brought the gold and the frankincense and the other guy could only afford the myrrh. We don't know. We know there was more than one. We know, or we can at least imagine, that they must have been very influential. Because when they entered Jerusalem, now they were following this star for quite a while, looking for a king. This star indicated the birth of someone amazing. They knew that. If you're looking for a king, you're going to go to a palace. And when they entered Jerusalem, the entire city, King Herod and the entire city, was thrown into a panic. Now, if three guys drive a Toyota into Washington, D.C., asking to see a president, nobody's going to notice. There's a lot of kooks in Washington, so they probably wouldn't even notice. But if really important guys in fancy, long, stretch limousines, a whole caravan of them, drive up to the White House and say, we want to see the new president, well, that might cause a stir. So I have to imagine that these weren't just three ordinary guys or six ordinary guys or two average guys. These were men of extreme importance, important enough to get King Herod and the entire city in a panic because they're looking for the new king. Now, here's where, in my opinion, the really wise part of the wise men kicks in. They do go, they talk to King Herod, and King Herod is sort of a snarky kind of guy. I mean, he obviously feels threatened by this new king. And so he says to the wise men, listen, continue following this star and let me know when you find this new king so that I may come and worship him too. Of course, if you're a kid in my service, you're probably going to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. We all know King Herod does not want to worship this new king. But the wise men were so wise that they knew, they could see right through Herod, and when they got that visitor in a dream that said, go home another way, don't go back to King Herod. He wants nothing to do with this new king but to cause him harm. These wise men, they obeyed. They listened to what God had to say. You know, the other thing I think is really amazing about the wise men is that they stuck with it. How long was that journey? Some people think it was about 2 years. 2 years. Do you know, I often thought maybe there were a lot more wise men that started out. Maybe there was a band of like 162 wise men. But as they traveled, some drifted away. Some decided, oh, it's too long. It's too hard. My wife wants me to come home. I'm getting saddle sores from the camel, whatever. And they just decided they were going to give up. Maybe it was only those three wise men that finally arrived in Bethlehem. And they came and they worshiped Jesus. After that long, long, long journey, after being sort of rerouted by King Herod and trying to be tricked, their focus was on getting to Jesus and worshiping him. So, folks, I don't know if any of us would qualify as wise men. We probably don't have the Wise Men Club card membership. But I think we can follow Jesus like those wise men did. They stayed with it. And they were true to their mission. They didn't give up. And they were rewarded by being able to meet Jesus a few years after the shepherds. But they met Jesus and were able to worship him. So my prayer for you this Christmas season is that you also follow Jesus. Stick with it. Don't give up, just like the wise men did.